Hello, and welcome back to Sewing Bee Unpicked, Series 9, Episode 1. Before we kick off, do our usual disclaimer that we are not associated with the BBC, with Love Production, or with the Great British Sewing Bee at all. This is just a personal podcast, two friends who would be chatting about this anyway, but we decided to record it. So it's been a year since we've done the last series. What have you been up to, Sean?
I started my degree, so it's been a bit manic. Moved to Brighton, and yeah, I've just been trying to catch up with sewing projects that I've massively fallen behind in. And I've got two major ones coming up at the moment, because a good old friend of mine is getting married. And I cannot find anything in the bridal colours that suits me. So I've now stupidly opted to make the waistcoat and trousers, so I could be a part of the bridal party on the day.
Oh, that would be really cute. We'll have to see some photos of that.
Well, I will definitely get some photos, but yeah, this has been an absolute nightmare trying to find something that will suit my body shape. But yeah, it's going to look cute. It's well. I say it's going to look cute. We hope it's going to look cute.
I'm doing something similar because my sister's getting married later this year, and I am hopefully going to make something for me to wear and something for my husband to wear as well on the wedding, so we can tie in with the wedding theme. So
Lovely.
I'll have to send some pictures on that as well, but I haven't even started yet, and I don't even know what I will be doing. So still doing some research on that. What else have we been up to? So since the last series, me and Sean, we did a little bit of a catwalk show at Alexandra Palace for Boiso 2.
We did indeed, and that was the most nerve-wracking thing I think I've done so far.
It was so much fun though, and we got to meet a few of the ex Sewing Bee contestants as well, which was fun.
Can I just give a shout out to Mercedes, who I've been a massive fan of? And then the fact that not only did I get to talk to Mercedes, but found out she actually lives near me. So yeah, that was a completely amazing moment.
She is amazing, and she is as crazy as a bag of frogs, and I love it. And I'm pretty sure she listens, so big shout out to Mercedes, because she is just the friendliest, sweetest person I think I've ever met.
Yep, she was just amazing. And do I add how envious I am of you of meeting someone who I absolutely fanboyed over last year?
Yes, so that was at the other Boiso 2 catwalk show, which was in Birmingham for the Stitch for Pleasure show, and I got to meet Jill from last series, and I just had to give her the biggest hug, and I told her, oh my God, Sean is gonna absolutely kill me that I got a chance to meet you, and I had a lovely chat with her. And I got a bit emotional, but it was so lovely.
Yeah, I'm not jealous at all. Not jealous in the slightest. Yeah, sadly, I had to miss out on that one due to uni commitments. But yes, hopefully we will get a chance to meet in the future. And then, yeah, Rob can go off and do something else because now it's my turn.
I was also in Simply Sewing magazine.
Yes, you were.
Can't remember what issue it was, but that was fun, showing off my shirt that I made for the Boiso 2. So that was kind of a fun thing to do. But yeah, we probably better get on with the actual show.
Yep, we better.
I'd like to just welcome all of our little unpickers who have been following for the last few series, and a welcome to anyone new that's just discovered the podcast. Where me and Sean will ramble about the show, basically.
That we will.
So we've got 12 new contestants here. We've got Asma, Catherine, Fall. I'm really bad with pronunciation.
Yeah, so am I. So I apologize on behalf of both of us. We will eventually get there with pronunciations of names. my dyslexic brain makes it even harder for me to work out how to pronounce people's names. So yeah, we do apologize in advance. Just bear with us for the time being.
We've got Jilly, Lauren, Lizzie, Marie, Maria, Matthew, Maya, Tony R, Tony W, and Vicky. And we're also going to say that we're a little bit of out of practice for the whole podcast thing. So bear with us on the first couple of episodes while we get back in the swing of things. I've got a new microphone, which we're testing out today. So hopefully the sound is all right. If not, we're going back to the old way. So that's the new 12 sewers. And me and Sean kind of know one of them very loosely, Matthew, who is part of the Boy Sew 2 gang. But we're going to be very unbiased and give our opinions. But it will be interesting to speak to him at some point for some behind the scenes goss of what was going on in each episode. Yeah. So that's going to be fun.
And can I just give a shout out to our two medical based sewing bees? That just makes me super, super happy that we've got a breast surgeon. And I believe that Maria works in A&E.
Yes, up in Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am just loving the fact that we've got a surgeon and a nurse on this show again. Because, yeah, shout out to all of my fellow NHS staff, all the future nurses, all the current nurses. Yeah. Oh, and just so people are aware, I have just started my nursing degree before you start thinking I'm being really, really weird.
right then. So let's crack on with the first challenge, which is the pattern challenge as always. And this time it was a twist blouse. Which I think they had 3 hours for. I've written 3 hours and I've put a question mark. Do you remember? Yeah. Was it 3 hours?
I believe it was, but you know what? That was probably the one thing I didn't actually write down in my notes. I worked really well so far.
It had a twist front, which I think can be quite confusing, and they wanted French seams down the sides and at the shoulders. It was 5 pieces. What fabric, if you were doing the Sean, would you have picked?
I would have gone for a really lovely basic cotton. I would have followed Esme's advice and I would have gone for the cottons. Because we had a sateen, I believe, Asma used. I wouldn't have been brave enough. I would have just gone for something that I knew how to work with. This was quite a scary first ever challenge.
Yeah, I think I would probably go as well with something cotton based for the first ever. You want something that's going to be stable, something that's going to be simple to sew, something that's going to be forgiving. Because of the twist, I probably would have looked for something that maybe was cotton viscose mix so that it had a little bit of drape to it. Just because, you know, sometimes when you can grab a cotton, you never really know exactly how it's going to drape.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
So that's what I was thinking, and I'd probably have chosen either a solid colour or a small pattern, so you didn't have to worry about any pattern matching or anything like that.
Because I have to say, right off the bat, we had a very, very brave sewing bee this year. We'll get on to it, but yeah, there was just someone from the get-go who I was sat there going, yeah, you're in my top three.
So there's a few problems that I think kind of cropped up before we start talking about how everyone did, which was hairy French seams.
Yeah. This is an interesting conversation to hear on the Sewing Bee.
So for people that may have not done French seams before, you're encasing the raw edge within almost like a channel. So you're sewing, first of all, wrong sides together, and then you're flipping it. So right sides together, and then you're sewing it again. And if you don't trim the edge, then you can get stray kind of threads poking through, and it gives that kind of hairy look to it. And I've actually had this myself, because I've got a few patterns, a trouser pattern and a shirt pattern, that have this, and I've actually fallen foul to this as well. So I was feeling their pain.
Yeah, I quite like a French seam. I always just love the way they feel and the way they look. But for me, it was the twist front that I just sat there and went, oh, God, really? First challenge, and you're giving me something that's origami-based and you've got to put one side over the other. And, yeah, that was the bit that made me kind of go, I don't know if I like this challenge.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen the instructions up close, because the idea of it really kind of boggles my mind, and I can't quite get round my head exactly how it works construction wise. Like, I understand the idea of it, but actually doing it,
I probably would have needed like IKEA level construction instructions, you know, like where you've got the little stick man that points to things, and yeah, this would have completely blown my brain.
Another thing that I really liked seeing during this challenge was how people were really helping each other out. And I think that is something that we see on SoMe quite a lot. And it's quite different to when you watch like American shows and stuff, where people are much more kind of like sabotaging each other and they're in it to win it. Whereas I think in the SoMe, when someone sees somebody else struggle, they'll go over and be like, oh, what part are you at? Oh, let me help. Oh, I think this, I think that. And it's just really nice to see.
It is. Sewing Bee creates a community. And that is one of the reasons why I absolutely adore this show.
So should we start talking about how everyone did?
Yeah, let's do it.
So if we go bottom three, and then if we talk about top three, and then if we have any honourable mentions, just because we don't want the podcast to go on for 7 hours, if we just do the tops and bottoms and then anything else we want to talk about. So should we go last place?
Yeah, let's do last place and work our way up.
So last place we had Catherine, who had chosen, it was like a lilac fabric with kind of black flowers on it, kind of lines of flowers on it. And she had a number of issues here. The sleeve was upside down and it wasn't really finished.
Yeah, I loved the print. I thought that was, because it's such a busy print, you didn't have to worry about pattern matching. I absolutely loved it. I loved the color of it. It was that really kind of nice kind of, I mean, for me, watching it on my TV, I saw more of a kind of grayishy duck egg blue. I just thought it was such a stunning color, lovely pattern, worked really, really nice, especially when you've got the twist going in. I think there would have been some patterns that would have looked really horrific for this sewing pattern. I loved it. It was just a shame about the sleeve.
Yeah, I think there was a few just time management issues there. And I think it's probably really difficult when you're getting to a situation you've never been in before, you've never been filmed before, you've never had to do a timed project before. So I think there was just a lot of adjusting that she needed to do to get herself into that kind of sewing environment, and that she just kind of slipped behind a bit. I should also say as well, when I mention colours on here, I'm actually colourblind. So if I say lilac and Sean's like, no, no, it's actually a blue, then you go by Sean's.
Oh, God, I do not need that level of pressure.
So somebody else who had, I think, some time management issues was Jilly, who came in 11th place. Yeah. And to me, that was kind of like a salmony, corally floral fabric. And I think she didn't finish because she put the sleeve in upside down and then had to unpick it, and she re-put it in, but then didn't do the French seam. And I think it was actually quite tough for them to ask for French seams on an armhole, like in the very first challenge.
Yeah, that was mean. That was very, very mean. Like, I have done French seams on side seams and on the insides of sleeves. I've never done one for the actual, like, attaching seam for the sleeve to the garment. So I tip my hat off to the sewing bees, because that is impressive. I don't know. To me, I can't even really work out. I think I need to try this out and see how it goes. But yeah, that was quite a tricky one to put in. But I suppose first challenge, they really want to see who has got the skills from day one.
Yeah, I mean, French seams, I love doing French seams, and I love doing them on shirts and stuff where it's long, straight seams.
Yeah.
I have done French seams before. I did a jumpsuit pattern actually a few months ago. I was pattern testing for a friend, and he had French seams all over the jumpsuit. But the worst bit was he had French seams that went down the sides, and then he had pockets in the seams, and you had to go down the sides and then turn at a right angle, go round the pocket and then down the leg. And that...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that absolutely boggled my mind. And it was a mess. It was not cute. There was a lot of puckering. French seams are fine, straight lines or gentle curves. But yeah, to do a sleeve where you're doing basically like a round seam, that's a bit tricky.
Yeah, it definitely... I mean, I need to try this now. I want to see how it feels to sew it. I don't know, for some reason I just imagine the seam being a bit chunky. I don't know. I need to try this out. I need to see what's going on.
It does give a lovely finish, I have to say, French seams.
A beautiful finish.
Look really professional when you've done them right. And when they look inside a garment and they've got a French seam, it does look lovely. Right, so moving to 10th place, we had Lizzie, who had used kind of an abstract floral fabric. It looked like cotton to me. And her main issue, I think, was the hairy French seams, where she'd sewn the first row of stitching and then not trimmed the seam allowance small enough, and then sewn the second stitching and kind of caught the raw edge in there. So there was kind of like a bit of raw edge and loose thread. So that's, I think, why she got marked down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big mistake for doing your French seams, because... It also, if you leave that excess in there, it is going to create bulk, and that's not going to be comfortable, especially if it's going under the arms. It's going to be quite chunky. But I really loved the print that she used. I thought she did really, really well. It was just that little technicality, but I think I have to say, for first challenge, having to work out this kind of rocket science twist that they've put in the front, I think they've all done pretty well for the very first challenge.
Definitely. I think they all did great, really. It was not a simple challenge. When you look back to other series, what they've got to do for like the first challenge, this was, I think, quite a bit trickier. So that was the bottom three. Just calling out a couple of things from the guys that kind of fell in the middle. I just wanted to say Mia used a fabric which I thought was really cute. It was like blue flowers, and then it was on a kind of wavy green and white kind of checkerboard, and I thought that was a really beautiful fabric, and I thought it really suited her personality, because I think they were supposed to be kind of showing their personality in the makes as well. And I thought that when I looked at it, even though we've only just met the sewers, when I looked at that fabric, I thought, that really suits you. It really epitomizes, I think, you as a kind of individual. She's kind of fun and cutesy, and she likes those kind of like floral fabrics, kind of bold. So I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. I think she's going to be a really interesting one to watch as well. For someone who is very young and also doesn't have as much experience as everyone else, she has got some skills with a sewing machine. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what she comes up with.
Yeah, they said she's only been sewing for 2 years, which is amazing because the kind of stuff that she was doing looked absolutely like top notch. I'm thinking back to when I'd been sewing for 2 years, some of the stuff I was doing was a real bloody mess.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she replicated the live action Cinderella gown is just phenomenal, and it looked really, really cute in that little video clip that they showed. I'm really excited to see what she has to offer.
Right, should we talk about top three?
Go on then.
Right, so in third place, we had Matthew, who had chosen a mint green, and it was like a lace and glitter fabric, which I thought was really fun. I thought it was fun because he loves glitter and sparkly things. So that was nice that it was tying into his personality. He was covered in glitter from head to toe, which I thought was super cute. The only thing I thought as he was sewing it, because it kind of seemed like the lace was a little raised off the fabric, that actually it might have been quite tricky for him to do French seams with that, because French seams, you really need kind of quite thin fabric. Otherwise, they do get kind of bulky and chunky.
Yeah, I loved everything about this fabric apart from the colour. And that's just my personal taste. I am not a pastel colour, and mint green gives me a bit of PTSD from the uniform that I have to wear when I work on wards. I cannot stand the uniform, and mint green just makes me look absolutely pale. I look incredibly washed out, and I'm pale enough as it is without a colour making me look paler. But that is just my personal preference. But the fabric itself was really cute. I loved that he picked something that had a bit of lace, a bit of glitter, trying to really show himself. And the sewing was absolutely beautiful. I was very impressed with how he handled that fabric. Yeah, my only critique is the colour. And that's just a personal choice. Like, I just don't like the colour mint green.
You see, I love mint green. I think a lot of women would have liked that top, to wear that top.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe we need to put glitter on your uniform so you like it more.
I'm just thinking infection control might have something to say about that.
Especially
if I'm shedding glitter all over the patients.
You'll be magical. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be really happy about that.
Right, so in second place we have Tony R, and he used, it was like a rainbow spotty fabric. I wasn't sure if this was cotton or not, because it seemed to drape really nicely, so I don't know if that was like a cotton viscose mix or a cotton mix with something else. It looked fantastically sewn, it looked really well handled, it didn't look like he'd stretched the seams out or anything. It looked beautiful.
It was absolutely stunning, and this was one of my favorite fabrics that was used so far. That print just looked amazing as it merged into that swirl at the front. I think he made an absolutely amazing fabric choice, like spot on, hands down. This was one of my favorites.
Spot on, literally.
Yes,
pun intended.
Oh, God, it's going to be one of those podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so moving on to first place, which was Asma, who had used a floral. It looked like some kind of silky satin fabric because it draped so softly. It was like butter. She had thought carefully about pattern placement and where the main floral motifs were going to be. It was superbly neatly sewn. It looked beautiful. The hems looked beautiful. She picked a difficult fabric, giving herself a real headache there, but it just looked amazing.
It was beautiful. It wasn't my favorite print, but I tip my hat off. Not only is she a surgeon, but she's also a lingerie lover as well, which just makes me happy, because, as you know, that's where I started doing a lot of my sewing, was sewing underwear, sportswear. So that just made me so, so happy. But the fact that she picked a challenging fabric to work with, which, as we know, could have gone horrifically wrong, and you don't want to go horrifically wrong on your first challenge. I thought this was phenomenal. Like, she is already in my top three for the final.
Yes, we're going to talk more about that later. But yeah, I agree. It was a really interesting choice to pick something, a difficult fabric to work with, because I would have been going with the easiest thing I could possibly find, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, she's you know, in it to win it. She's there picking things that, you know, appeal to her, and I guess she's had a lot of practice with those kind of fabrics, so maybe she's not worried about doing something kind of slippery like that. But yeah, it's just, as soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, yeah, she's got some major skills.
Yep. And can I just give a shout out to her outfit? That yellow and white polka dot, oh, just made me happy. I am really, really excited to see what she produces in the next couple of episodes, because I am really excited about her. I love her style. I love the fact that she's not afraid to go for those challenging fabrics. Oh, I think she's going to be absolutely amazing. I can honestly see her in the top three.
Yeah, I think she's one of those people that has got really good taste, and the things she makes are very elegant.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem very classy and very kind of high end. And it reminds me of a sewer. Last series, I haven't got my notes from last series, and who was from Wales. She won loads of Garments of the Week. Oh god, her name is on the tip of my tongue.
It's fine, it's the pressure of the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while. But she reminded me of that sewer from last series, where everything she made was just so, like, classically stylish, and it looked like it could be from, you know, like Chanel or somewhere like that. It just absolutely amazing. Anyway, yep. We had better go on to the next challenge.
Yeah.
So challenge two is the transformation challenge, where our 12 sewers were given a corporate uniform, and they had to create a garment to express their personality, and they were allowed to use fabric from the scrap bin and also any trims they wanted. And as always, they had 90 minutes to produce a garment from a skirt and a shirt. What did you think about this challenge?
I really, really, I mean, I love a transformation challenge. I have been doing some of my own recently, which I will post pics on our Instagram page as soon as I remember what the password is. But yeah, I really, really love this. It's an amazing opportunity to, again, show your style, show your creativity. I was really, really looking forward to this.
I think it was a surprisingly sneaky, difficult one for the first one. But I say that because it's such a wide brief to say you can make anything you want to express your personality. Because I know for me, if I'd have sat there, I'd have suddenly thought, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? And I would be a bit paralyzed with indecision.
Yeah. Where
on some of the transformations, they're like, you have to make a beach cover up. You have to make, you know, a skirt or whatever. So you kind of, it's cut down the choices for you already. You know, you have to produce this. Whereas this one, I thought, God, it's endless, the possibilities.
Yeah, it really is. But what would you have gone for?
I've scribbled down three things that I thought about. One was kind of like a halter neck top, where the top of the kind of halter neck would be like a thick bit of fabric that tied into maybe a big bow at the back or the side. Got to throw a bow in there for Esme.
Yeah. Oh, you've always got to throw a bow in there for Esme.
And then the other one would be kind of an elasticated ladies top with like a ruffle or a couple of tiers of ruffle on the bottom, and maybe some little elasticated straps over the shoulders. And then the last idea I thought would possibly be maybe for me, and do a pair of shorts. But yeah, I don't know how I would get my personality into any of those, to be honest. I guess it would be like choice of fabric or something.
Yeah, I think it really would be the choice of garment that you picked to transform and any extras that you added to it. I think for me, I probably would have gone down the like tailoring in the skirt to make it more of a pencil skirt, and then adding like some ruffles to give it kind of a bit of a burlesque vibe. I think that's probably what, but then I probably would have got told off for turning a skirt into a skirt.
It's difficult because you don't know how of a wildly different that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they judge people down for going, oh, you didn't transform that much. And then I noticed there was a couple of times in this where people maybe didn't alter the thing that much, and they were like, oh, wow, it looks really great. So it's kind of a really difficult one to know what the judges are going to be looking for.
I think it all really depends on how well you execute it. But yeah, I probably would have transformed an office skirt into a pencil skirt and added a few ruffles, maybe a peplum, and maybe done like a small kind of crop top or something to go with it. Not quite sure. That was the first thing that came into my mind, but now that I'm saying it out loud, I can just hear Esme and Patrick telling me off for turning a skirt into another skirt.
Right, so we should talk about how everyone did. So we'll do bottom three and top three again. One thing I wanted to say before that, I loved Jilly when she was saying that her skirt was come hitherish.
Yes, I absolutely loved that. Oh, I think she is going to be one that I'm going to be really excited to watch. I think she's just absolutely adorable. She's that sort of person I would love to just take out for lunch and just have a conversation over a coffee.
I definitely want to start using come hitherish in, if I can say it, more often.
Yeah, I mean, you can say it as much as you like. You've just got to get the practice in.
Yeah, I'm going to start making some come hitherish clothes.
Yeah, I think I might start doing the same.
Right, so in last place, unfortunately, we had Maria, who had created almost like a bit of a shell top where she'd taken the sleeves and the collar off and she'd bound the edges, it looked like, with bias binding. It looked incredibly neatly sewn. It looked really well put together. But she was marked down because they said it was not a huge transformation. But I thought it was quite a cute top.
It was a cute top and it was very well constructed for this like time length that they had. But I do get what the judges meant by there wasn't a massive amount of transformation. And when you looked at everyone else's, it without sounding overly critical, it was just a case of she took the collar off, the sleeves off, cropped it a little bit, and then added a new waistband to it. So I can kind of see where the judges are coming from when you look at everyone else's, and there wasn't that big of a transformation. That sounds really, really harsh, but like I've got it up on my screen now and I'm looking at like the lineup, and it's probably the one that did have the least amount of transformation to it.
Yeah. I think that kind of, that's why she ended up, yeah, in that position. So moving on to 11th place, we had Tony R, who produced a pair of kind of 90s long shorts. He'd used the shirts as the pocket bags. I'm guessing the skirt was the front of the shorts, and then he used some fabric from the scrap bin to be the back of the shorts. But I think he was marked majorly down because he hadn't used the shirt fabric very much and he'd used a lot of the the whole back of the shorts basically were just from the scrap bin. So they'd marked him down on that. They looked well made. They looked, you know, cute. But yeah, I think that's just how we lost points.
Yeah. And I do kind of agree, because like the judges did say, like, they could use bits from the scrap bin, but they weren't supposed to be used as much as the shirt and the skirt were. So when about 50% of your garment is from the scrap bin, it's, yeah, I could see. But yeah, they were well constructed. I thought they were really, really good. But sadly, someone's got to come in 11th place, and clearly the judges wanted... They had their ideas, they had their rules that they were setting in their head, and sadly he just didn't make the mark.
Yeah, and then moving on to our other Tony, Tony W, he was in 10th place and he produced a waistcoat. And again, I think he got marked down for similar. It looked like the skirt, which was kind of a pinstripe, had been used on the outer of the waistcoat. But then I couldn't work out if he'd use any of the shirt.
No, I can't. God, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it now, which is a bit pointless seeing as we're recording this now. yeah, I haven't actually put any notes about that.
I think...
How useless have I been tonight?
I think that he... Because there was almost like two linings on the waistcoat. There was a silky black lining, and then there was like a geometric. It was kind of like white and kind of blue and purple little triangles and squares and stuff. And I think maybe both of them were from the scrap bin, because I don't think that black kind of Patrick kind of felt it and was like, is this a shirt? And I think maybe it might have been a bit too kind of shiny and slippery for it to have been the shirt. So I think that's kind of why he lost points. It looked quite cute as a waistcoat.
Yeah, for something that was quickly draft, I thought it looked really, really good. It's just a shame that he's kind of fallen into the same trap of using too much of the kind of extras rather than using the main materials.
Yeah, it was very cute. It looked well constructed. To do a waistcoat in self-draft a waistcoat in 90 minutes is amazing. So well done, Tony. Like, that's really like fantastic work. I noticed something else actually, looking at all of the creations. This series, people didn't go nuts in the haberdashery like they have done in previous series.
Do you think they've listened to the podcast?
I don't think we've got that much sway. But I was expecting there to be like a Damien from a couple series ago, where he'd run into the haberdashery and be like, oh, I'm going to get some bling, I'm going to get some lace, I'm going to get some rickrack, and just like shove it all on with some flowers and stuff. But people were very tasteful with the haberdashery and the trim.
They were, and I think because the judges had set the scrap bin, I think they made it very, very clear that you're only supposed to touch the scrap bin. And I think that's what's prevented a lot of people from going absolutely manic and chucking everything that they can grab onto their garment.
Yeah, definitely. So that was the bottom three. So now we've got the top three. But before that, I just wanted to shout out to Asma, who produced, it was a skirt with floral panels cut out and then a blouse with floral trims and a little bit of lace, which was a lot of work. And I was kind of surprised she came in sixth. I thought that was going to come in higher.
Yeah, I mean, okay, she transformed a skirt into a skirt, but that, there was so much work into that. Like, a lot of work. The fact that she actually produced two garments as well in that space of time, I am surprised she didn't come higher than, but maybe the judges had their idea of what they wanted to see. And but yeah, I thought she did incredibly well. I do feel a bit bad that she came in middle place.
Yeah, and then also Amir, who produced, it was like a ruffle top with in like two colours of yellow, and it had some lace trim. that's the kind of thing I would have produced, I think. And I thought that should have been higher than that. Was 8th place. And yeah, it looked really well constructed. So I was kind of shocked why that was 8th and why it wasn't higher up.
And it was really cute. It was really cute, really well sewn. Yeah, I bet. I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to get into the mindset of Patrick and Esme.
Yeah, you just never know with them.
No.
So, third place, we had Lizzie, who had produced, it was a gathered skirt and top in kind of a floral pattern. I thought it was interesting. There was a lot of gathering going on, which created some interesting shapes, but I don't really have a lot of other notes on that.
It was cute, well constructed. She did well. She managed to produce two garments. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was very cute, very well done. I don't really have any critiques for it. I just thought she did a very good job.
Yeah. So moving on to second place, we've got Vicky, who had produced a really elegant top. It was kind of like a pinstripe from the shirt, I think, and it was kind of like a cream with pinstripes in it. And then she had an orange skirt, which she'd used as trim. And then I think she'd kind of found a matching, maybe orange bias binding as well, which she'd put around the neck. I thought the fit on this, on the mannequin, was absolutely fantastic. I thought that fit just went round the mannequin's curves perfectly.
Yeah, it was very, very good. I really, really like this. Yeah, I tip my hat off to her. That was a very, very good sew. Very creative, great transformation. Yeah, I have to say, this first episode, there's always someone who falls a little bit back and they don't do quite well under the pressure. But I have to say, in this transformation challenge, I think everyone actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah, definitely. I think they all did really well. I think it was a kind of mixed bag looking at the first challenge and the second challenge, that everyone, their placements are kind of muddled up. So people that didn't do great on the first challenge did kind of better on the second challenge, and vice versa. So that was quite interesting. So moving on to first place, we have Matthew, who had produced a harness shirt. I thought it was very Vivian Westwood with the black and white stripes and the red. He'd left raw edges on there. There was ruffles at the end of the sleeve. There was kind of like a ruffle number going on the shoulder. It was definitely giving Westwood vibes. And the judges absolutely loved it.
Can I just say, well done to Matthew for getting Patrick to say the word dungeon. Like, that was not something I ever thought I'd hear Patrick ever say. So yeah, that just made the first episode for me. I really, really like this. Okay, half of the shirt was still there, but I loved the fact that there was that contrast. I loved the colour choices that you put on the other side. I think my only critique is I think that strap that goes down the body needed to just move slightly over a little bit, because I've got a feeling you might get a little bit nip slip if anyone wore that. But I loved it. I loved the Vivian Westwood nod. I just thought it was really good. It was really creative. Yeah, and it's nice to see someone do something a little bit risque as well. Sometimes I always find sewing bee that everything's quite cute and polite. So it's quite nice to see something a little bit risque. And I'm wondering, has Man Yi opened the floodgate for harnesses on Sewing Bee?
I think we're going to see quite a few harnesses from Matthew. And I think you're right. You hit on a point there where Matthew has been a real breath of fresh air into the contestants and showing what other people, you know, are doing out there. And I followed Matthew's Instagram for quite a while now, and these are the kind of clothes he makes, and these are the kind of clothes that represent him. And that was part of the challenge. Part of the challenge was to express yourself through a garment. Because I was quite torn when I first saw it, and I was like, oh, I really like it. But at the same time, half the shirt hasn't been touched really. But this really represents him as a sewer and his style and aesthetic. So for that, I was like, two thumbs up. Well done. That's amazing. This is who you are in a garment. So for that, fantastic. I would echo what you'd said about some of the straps. I hadn't thought somebody would wear this with, I thought you'd definitely wear something underneath this.
But that's me just going, yeah, no, give it to me. I'm going to wear it down to Tesco's.
But so I think some of the straps, the placements could have just been adjusted a little bit further if he'd had time. I think that would have just elevated it a tiny bit, just because it probably would have helped with like fitting and stuff. But I thought fantastic. Had to, you know, give him a round of applause there. That was something that I didn't think I'd ever see on Sewing Bee, and something that I think, you know, needs to be represented and needs to be there. And it's amazing that the judges loved it so much and that it came in first. So fantastic. Well done, Matthew.
Yep, and thank you for making Patrick say dungeon.
And Esme was loving it, wasn't she? She was like,
oh yeah, but come on, like, this is right up Esme Street.
Work down this side, party down that side.
Yeah, it's like the clothing version of mullet. Except business on the left, party on the right. I may have got my lefts and rights the wrong way around there, but you get my sentiment.
We get you. So that was the transformation challenge. So moving into the last challenge, which is the made to measure, where a garment has to be created and fitted to a live model. They had to produce a dress with a cutout, and they had 5 hours to do this. They could produce pretty much any dress they wanted, but it had to have a cutout featuring somewhere in the dress. Now, do you know what you would do?
So I have done some cutouts in the past. A couple of years ago, I had a commission from a male burlesque performer who wanted a garment, but with a heart-shaped cutout. The issue being is cutouts on stretch is very difficult sometimes, but I managed to achieve a really cute heart cutout. So I'm kind of a fan of doing heart cutouts now that I know how to do it. That took a lot of practice. I probably would have gone for something a little bit come hither, with a heart cutout that I probably would have had to draft myself on it. I don't know, I haven't really thought that far. I think I only thought of what shape I'd like to do the cutout. I don't think I actually thought about what I would want to actually make for it.
I think like a 1950s dress would be cute with a heart cutout.
Yeah, 1950s dress, heart cutout at the back. Yeah, polka dot. That's what I'd do. Thanks, Rob.
Something else to say about doing cutouts in any garment, really, is they are surprisingly difficult to do and get right. The reason being that a body has curves and shapes and contours, and fabric will to some degree follow those and to some degree won't. And it can easily, your cutout can have gapes, and those gapes can be really difficult to adjust and make it, because if you just throw a dart in, it's going to be really obvious.
Yeah.
So it was a surprisingly tricky, I think, challenge to give them on week one. And also, I think they're looking for quite large cutouts as well. And I think the larger the cutout you do, it can affect the integrity of the garment as a whole.
Yeah.
You've got to think about that and how that's going to hold together. So there was a lot going on here. Really a lot of kind of tricky elements in this. So, shall we go through all of them quite quickly and give our
Yeah,
thoughts?
let's go for it.
So, up first, we had Lizzie, who had used a very drapey fabric. It was black with white line drawings of faces on. It was a halter neck. It was kind of a summer dress. I thought looked beautiful. When the model was walking, it really flowed with her and moved, and it looked like she had a wind machine going. It was just, I thought it was a really beautiful.
It was stunningly well constructed. I loved the fabric choice. Yeah, it was beautiful. Like, I haven't really got much to say. It was just, I thought it was really nicely done.
Yeah, well done, Lizzie. So moving on, we've got Fove, who had used a ditzy floral print, which I thought was very her. I thought that really tied into her as a sewer. It was kind of a tea dress, and it had side cutouts, and she'd done huge, big kind of puff sleeves, which I couldn't quite work out. She, Esme said she'd done a facing. I thought she'd done some kind of like a lining that had allowed them to be really voluminous. But it was really well done.
Yeah, beautiful, well constructed. I'm just kind of in awe of how well everyone's done on this challenge. And obviously, I can't, you know me, I'm a chatter, so I can't go into great detail on things because I'll end up taking up most of the time on the podcast. But again, beautifully well constructed, no major critiques. I tip my hat off to every single one of them on this challenge because they have elevated sewing bee standards at the moment.
Definitely. Then we have Asma, who had used a red and white dotty fabric. It also draped really well. It was like a really long dress. I think it was either ankles or to the floor. It looked stunningly elegant, which I think we've already mentioned about Asma's sewing. I think this is a key point to a lot of her sewing. It looks just effortlessly elegant. It had a bow at the back. So the cutout was kind of like the whole of the back, which was very dramatic. This I've written down was one of my favorites. And this is the kind of thing that I would probably have attempted to do, not as well as her, but attempted to do if I'd been in that challenge. Did you like it?
I loved this so much. It's just got that gorgeous summer night in Morocco, going out for dinner. Just, it was so beautiful. The only thing was, is the cutout was a tiny, tiny bit gappy, but the dress itself was just phenomenal. I loved the colour. I think she has got an absolutely amazing eye for style and detail. And I loved it. It was just a shame about that. Just a little bit gappy. But yeah, from the front, that dress just looked beautiful.
Yeah, I think if it hadn't had the gap in at the sides, that would have been as a contender for Garment of the Week.
Yep, 100%.
Right, we're going to stop gushing about asthma now.
This is the asthma podcast. This is the
Moving on to Tony R. He had done a rockabilly style swing dress. It had a skull and roses fabric. So he's really into his skulls, as is Esme, we found out with her collection of skulls.
yes, that surprised me.
Yeah, she is a real kooky individual. I just love the idea that she's got a massive, like, Edwardian cabinet somewhere in her house, and it's filled with all of these like stuffed animals and skulls and stuff like.
Yeah, we always seem to learn something new about Esme. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, she's really cool. Other times she kind of scares me a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. But she's so cool. Like, seriously, I just want to take Esme out for a coffee.
Oh, love Esme. Absolutely love it. Like, we're gonna have to see her at some point at some of the sewing shows or something. Definitely have to track down Esme. Yes, so this dress, Tony R's dress, it had a back cutout, which unfortunately was gaping a bit, and a messy petticoat where the hemline, well, it didn't have a hem, but the cut of the bottom of the petticoat was kind of up and down and all over the place.
Yeah, it was just a little bit too messy. I think if you're going to add a petticoat layer, you need to make sure, if it's going to be visible, that it is perfect. I think had that just been used for volume, he probably could have gotten away with it being a little bit uneven. But because it came so far down below the hemline of the skirt, it just made it even more obvious.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think if he had time, I think he just ran out of time, but if he had time, I would have shortened it a bit so it was just, yeah, adding the volume to the skirt, puffing the skirt out, and yeah, not had it. I think it was a really cute idea, and I loved the idea of it having the black tulle showing underneath. But if you're right, if you don't get it exactly right and it was even all the way around, then it kind of really highlights the issue.
Yeah.
So next up we have Vicky, who had used, it was kind of like a black fabric with a white window pane check, and then it had these bold coloured motifs. I couldn't really tell what they were, whether they were like floral or just generic kind of squiggles or what, but I loved the fabric. I thought it was super cute, very 80s, very cool. I thought that the fit was really fantastic. Like, the fit was professional, and I thought the dress itself was really fun, and I've put down here in brackets, this is also one of my favourites.
It's very cute. I have got it up on my screen. You've got kind of blocks of colour, and then it looks like they're supposed to be vegetables. There's like one bit on it that kind of looks like a carrot.
Okay.
So 80s cookery fabric. Not quite sure, but yeah, it was very, very cute. I really liked it. The fit was beautiful. Absolutely stunning. This, yeah, was one of my favourites.
Yeah, this, I think Vicky has got a real eye for fit, and I think she's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, hands down, 100%.
Up next, we've got Maria, who had... Now, I love the idea of this. She had used broidery on glaze, which I'm a big fan of recently, just made a shirt out of it for the first time. I'd love the fabric she got, so I need to track down where she got that and see if it comes in black. She had fully lined it, so basically she was doubling the work that she had. And the problem with lining it is if you do a cutout and you've lined it and then you realise that the cutout's gaping or too large or whatever, it then is almost impossible to change.
Yeah, I loved it. And you know what? I've literally been trying to work out the name of this fabric for the past couple of weeks. And then it was all of a sudden, watching this episode, was that's the name of the fabric I've been looking for. I really, really liked it. It was a cute dress. I loved the colour. It gave me really nice summer's day vibes. But yeah, she gave herself a lot of work to do. And sadly, it was just that gappiness at the back. It really kind of ruined it for me. But it was... such a cute summery dress. I could see people wearing this like nice lunches out or something. But
yeah, it was cute, it was elegant. I absolutely loved it. And Maria, if you listen to this, do send us a message with where you got that fabric, because I am desperate to make a shirt from that. I will not be lining it. I'll be showing a little bit of skin underneath, or maybe I'll have a little vest on underneath. But yeah, I'm desperate to find out where that came from.
Yeah, I really want to make a shirt. I'm currently working on an outfit for myself for next year at uni, and I would love to make a little shirt out of that fabric.
Well, maybe so we can.
Please let me know.
We can make matching shirts, Sean.
You, for when we find Esme.
Yeah, and we can, and Esme will be like, you freaks in your broidery on black shirts. Get away from me.
Is it bad that I'm getting the twins from The Shining?
Oh God! I'm gonna have to Photoshop our heads onto those girls now and put it on the Instagram.
Can we just walk up to Esme and go, Hello, Esme, come play with us.
I'm going to Photoshop that. I've just written a note in my notes here. I put a star next to it, shining.
Already hear the restraining order.
Right. We're going off track. Yeah,
come on.
Right. So next up, we had Jilly, who had made a tea dress in a blue floral. It was almost gave me like Majolica kind of China floral, that kind of blue. Unfortunately, this is the problem. I think her cutouts were just so tiny and at the side. So when the model had their arm down, as Patrick pointed out, you just lost the cutouts completely. So I just don't think she was bold enough with the size of the cutouts.
Yeah, those cutouts needed to be bigger. They were cute. They worked really, really lovely with dress. But when the challenge is a dress with cutouts, that just wasn't a big enough. It just wasn't, it didn't hit the mark for me. The dress was stunning. I love the fabric. I completely got that kind of whole kind of antique China plate kind of vibes. It was beautiful. And I could see lots of people wearing it, but those cutouts were just, yeah, just not there.
So next we've got Matthew, who had used a blue and white polka dot and with yellow lining and trim, and included his statement harness on there. It had a waterfall skirt as part of the dress. Now, I really liked the idea of this, but again, I felt the same a bit as Patrick did, that there was a lot going on. And for me, it was giving me kind of superhero costume vibes. And I don't know if that's just the colours that he used. So maybe if he hadn't used the yellow and used white to tie back into the blue and white, or if he'd used a plain blue as the lining, just the yellow was really jumping out. It was fun and I loved it, but there was a lot going on for my eyes.
I've got to disagree with you and Patrick.
Oh.
I really, really loved the colour combination together. I loved that bold lining because I think where he's got that waterfall train to it, you didn't want something plain and boring in that. You wanted something bold. It's a bold statement dress. I think the only bit for me is I didn't quite like the harness feature on this dress. I would have really, had it been more of a belt, I think it would have looked a lot nicer. That's just my personal opinion on it. But I loved the blue and white polka dot with that yellow. It made me smile so much.
You know what, you're talking me round, because I think maybe, yeah, if you'd have taken off the harness section and then that would have taken the yellow from the top part of the dress off, then I think I could have handled the yellow on the bottom, because I did like the blue and yellow together. I thought it was lovely. It was a really fun pop and it brought me joy. But maybe you're right. And also, if you took the harness off, you could see more of the cutout, which was the kind of whole reason of the dress, was to have the cutout. You've talked me round. Maybe it wasn't the colours. Maybe it was just the harness. Maybe it wasn't needed on that particular garment.
I think had it just been focused on the skirt and maybe as a little belt as well, I think that's where it became a little bit too much. Was just because it seemed to be taking over the outside fabric as well. But this just made me smile. I really, really loved those colours together. I mean, it really it is something I would expect to see walking around Brighton.
Yeah, definitely very like seaside-y cute vibes. So the next three we're going to talk about is Lauren, Mia and Catherine, and they all used the same pattern, but they all did slightly different views. I think, you know, when you buy a sewing pattern and you've got like view A, B and C, and some have different sleeves and some have different lengths and some have different, you know, fittings and stuff. So first up, we have Lauren, who used a blue linen fabric. It had elasticated cutouts. I thought it looked really professional. I thought it looked really comfortable. I thought it's the kind of thing that loads of girls would want to wear. You could wear it in lots of different occasions. It looked summery. I mean, I haven't really got anything bad to say about it.
No, and you know what was incredibly smart about this was elasticating your cutout, because even if you had misjudged the pattern, that elastic is going to give it that really lovely ruched effect. I thought this was incredibly smart. I loved this dress so much. It's beautifully executed, stunning color. The color on the model, like the two just work together so beautifully. This is honestly like one of my favorites. I just thought this was stunning. And yeah, like if you're doing cutouts of things and you're worried about it being gappy, chuck a bit of elastic in it. No one will know. It will just look like a feature.
Yeah, I put a big tick next to this. So this must have also been one of my favorites, I think. I thought it was great. And then Mia had used the same pattern and done it slightly differently. She had chosen a 70s floral bold print, which I thought was great, and I thought that really tied into kind of her personality and aesthetic and the kind of things that she wears. I thought it was really fun. It was a shame that she'd put the sleeves upside down, so the kind of poofiness of the sleeves was kind of falling under the armpit and kind of pulling the dress slightly out of shape.
It was an unfortunate little mistake, but I got full-on Austin Powers vibes from this dress. I just thought it was adorable. It really just, I think it was completely 100% her. She has really shown her style and aesthetic in this episode, and I thought it was absolutely stunning. Yeah, it's a shame about the sleeves, but I just really, really, really loved it. Again, it's something that I could see down in the vintage shops in the lanes in Brighton, being sold, being worn, people wearing it to the beach. I loved it. I have to say, I've kind of become a bit of a sucker for neon green at the moment. Not quite sure where that's coming from. And I've got like little neon vibes in it as well. And I was just, yeah. I love that so much.
So last person that used this pattern was Catherine, and my heart broke a little bit watching this. It ended up being unfinished. I think Catherine just had some time management issues going on here. We don't know why. Maybe it took longer to cut out than she thought. Maybe there were some issues. Maybe she had to unpick some stuff. Maybe she just wasn't working as fast as the other two, but she kind of fell behind and then kind of had a little mini breakdown, 5 minutes towards the end. And Vicky went and consoled her. And then everyone kind of pitched in to help get it. So it went down the catwalk, which was great, because it would have been really sad if she hadn't sent anything down the catwalk at all. And it was just sad that she'd run out of time and it wasn't finished, because it had a lot of potential. And I liked it. It had a Chinese themed black fabric with like Chinese motifs on it. And the idea was there. She just ran out of time.
I loved the idea. I loved what this could have been had it been finished. I thought it was the concept and the idea that you can see what it was supposed to be. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just a shame. But again, this is why I love this show, because it really builds up a family. And I just love seeing everyone chime in. Everyone's kicking in together. They go to help people out who might be falling behind, and even though sadly there's always got to be someone who gets let go, I just think it's such a lovely community that is made up from every season of Sewing Bee. So yeah, and even the fact that like Patrick went and gave her a hug as well, just like, oh, this is why I love this show, because it's just so heartwarming. It's just a shame that the final dress, we didn't do well in the first challenge. We're not doing too well in the last one. It is a shame, because that had so much potential.
Yes. Right. Moving on to the last person we've got to talk about is Tony W, who had used a stretch floral fabric, and he had really fitted it great, which is partly to do with the stretch fabric, but also that's not the whole story. You also have to fit it properly and, you know, measure properly and make sure the fabric's cut properly and sewn correctly and adjusted. So which he did fantastically, and it really fit the model beautifully. Like, it was definitely made to measure. It had kind of a front diamond cutout where the panels were kind of overlaying each other, which I thought was quite clever. I've not really seen anything like that before. I've not seen the pattern that he used. I'm sure it was one of the big four, probably. But yeah, I thought he did really well. What did you think about it?
Oh my God, this was stunning. And it was so clever. Like you said, like the fact that the cutout was made of overlays of fabric. So in the traditional sense, it's not really a cutout, but it is a cutout. The fit was stunning. The print was beautiful. The cutout was so flattering as well, being at the front, because I think everyone goes for back cutouts, side cutouts. The fit was phenomenal. Like, this was one of my absolute favorites, and I'm so glad, because it sounds horrible, but he kind of became a little bit invisible to me, and like, you always get one that kind of falls into the background a little bit, and then all of a sudden, here he is. This is his work. This is his phenomenal sewing. And it just made me so happy. Like, it was stunning. I love the drawstring feature at the front, just giving it that extra bit of detail. As you know, I sew a lot with stretch. So anyone who has got a limited amount of time and is making something that stunning out of a tricky, complex fabric, I've run out of words. It just made me so happy.
Yeah, it was really lovely, and we should go on to say that it actually was nominated for Garment of the Week. So well done, Tony.
100% deserved it. 100%.
And unfortunately, Catherine had to leave us, and was that the right decision?
I think it was only fair to everyone else who, like we said earlier, we've had kind of a mix. Everyone's fallen in different places. I think it was only fair, seeing as consistently she was towards the bottom. The final dress wasn't finished, really. Like, as much as the model got to walk down in a dress, it wasn't finished outfit you want to send down. It's a shame, because she's not that far from me. So yeah, it's kind of nice seeing a bit of like southeast representation. Obviously she's West Sussex, so she's more southwest. But seeing a bit of south representation on this show always makes me happy. It's a shame. I think she had a lot of potential, but it just wasn't her day today.
Yeah, I think there was just some time management issues which really hit her in two of the three challenges. And they really liked her transformation challenge. I think she came like third or something. Fourth maybe. But I think at the end of the day, it was the right decision. Although I wish what they did on Sewing Bee was on the first week, no one leaves. It's the first week is just to kind of get to know like what the situation is, get to know the challenges and stuff, and then start eliminating from the next week.
Yeah, that would be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
People a chance to settle in, first time they're being filmed, let the kind of anxiety of the first day get over and done with, and then bring in the competition. That would be a really lovely way to do it.
I know why they don't, because of time pressures and filming costs a lot of money and stuff, but it would just be really nice if first week you knew no one's going home and you're just, you know, there to experience it and show kind of who you are. But it was sad to see Catherine leave, because I think she had a real energy about her and personality, which would have been great to see throughout the competition. So we need to talk about who we think are going to be our top three at the end of the series. Now, Sean, have you been able to count it down to three?
Funnily enough, yes, I have. One,
oh, wow.
Four. Only because, to be fair, was it last season we had a top four?
Yes, it was, yeah.
So I think I'm going to be nice to myself, seeing as now Sewing Bee have given the option for a top four. Mine are Tony W.
Okay.
Just because of that final dress. Mia. Yeah. Matthew and Asma.
Okay, interesting. So there's a bit of a similarity between mine. I've gone for Asma. I have gone for, in my second place, Vicky.
Okay.
And then third, I couldn't decide between Matthew and Lauren, because I think Lauren, although she did well, I don't think she's really shown. I think she's a fantastically skilled technical sewer, and I just don't think she's shown it in this episode yet. So I think she's one to watch as well. So I've also kind of got a top four.
Yeah, I have to say, Lauren was kind of on the verge, but I just fell in love with Tony's dress so much. And I'm just really excited to see what Mia brings. Matthew, I just loved what he presented and the fact that he's bringing something new. And Asma just is such a beautiful sewer. Like, I will be heartbroken if she is not in the final.
Yeah, I can't see any situation where she won't be in the final, but she seems like she's technically brilliant. But you never know, because we've had shocks in previous series where people have been amazing and then had a bad week. And
when we were both heartbroken by Marnie leaving.
Oh, don't bring it up. I haven't got any tissues nearby. next week, we've got holiday week, where they'll be making, I think, a rucksack in the pattern challenge, maybe. And then the transformation looked like they were using that kind of windbreaker plasticky fabric. And then I think maybe some kind of swimsuit in the made to measure.
I'd be excited about the swimsuit. I really need a new rucksack, so that would have been really handy. The windbreaker fabric is probably the one bit that probably would have made me cry.
Yeah, not easy to work with.
No, but not in the slightest.
So that's what we've got coming up next week. So I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening, if you are still listening now. And thank you for the lovely comments we've had online. About five people have said, oh, we're really excited about Sewing Bee Unpicked coming back. So that's always lovely to hear that people are actually listening and enjoying it. Do feel free to send us comments on Instagram. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of. And thank you, Sean, for coming back and chatting to me.
No, thank you for having me back. I've missed this podcast. I've really missed it.
So I think that's all we've got. So it's goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.